Reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This show is brought to you by Doghouse Systems, who make some of the best gaming PCs on the planet. If you want all the benefits of building your own computer but have no clue where to start, go ahead and let our friends take care of you. Check them out at doghousesystems.com and use the code MMOREPORTER for a free 128GB solid-state drive upgrade. And by Audible, the best audiobook program in existence. If you have any kind of commute or just wish you read more, I promise you this, Audible is the solution. Go to audibletrial.com/MMOREPORTER to download a free audiobook today. Hello and welcome to episode 92 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and this week the format of the show is going to be different from how it usually is because I've got a guest from our community. His name is Mark, and he's just a hop, skip, and a leap across the pond over in Europe. I'll let him explain why. But because of that, kind of had to dash in, dash out, and just do a quick interview with him. Mark is a newer player of Hearthstone, just been playing for a couple months, and it was really cool. He reached out to me, asked if he could come on and talk about the new player experience. So we had a great conversation, and I think for a lot of you guys who are like me, been playing the game for a very long time, it's helpful to just kind of get refreshed on what it's like to be a new player, not to assume from our perspective what it's like, but to hear from someone who's actually new. So really excited to share that interview with you. But I've got some other things that we always have in the show that I'm going to go solo on this week and let you guys know, first of all, of course, why I happen to be happy today. And the big thing for me is getting ready for the big move to Colorado. You guys have heard about that and really excited to be going with friends and family who are back there. But if you have ever moved before in your life, which unless you've been living in the same house since you were a kid, actually my brother-in-law is, but he moved out and then moved back into it. Anyway, regardless, a lot of you guys have done a huge move before and there's so much anticipation and prep work. My wife and I are just boxing up everything and trying to get ready. She grew up moving all over the country, all over the world, actually, military family. So she's got all the skills needed to pack well, although she's more exhausted than I am because she's done this a time or two. I've only done it a few times. So we're just all this anticipation, just kind of ready to be out there. And it's going to be good once we get out there. Totally worth it. Just a couple weeks now until we are out there for good, and I'll be broadcasting from the mountain air, which will be nice. Well, indoors, with the mountain air outside, of course. But maybe I could do a camping episode. No, I don't think that would work. And then outside of that, really happy with Hearthstone, just really trying to enjoy Un'Goro. I really believe the game has never been in a better place content-wise, so just trying to soak it in, try all the decks. I mean, every single class has a viable deck on the ladder. Many of them have multiple decks. Other than Warlock, I guess, is kind of the laughing joke lately. But on Wild, Warlock is really, really strong. I mean, Reno Lock, you've got so many resources that you can use. So even there, Warlock has a place. So just trying to soak it in. There's all sorts of stuff that you can do now. And if you're really bored, you can watch other players and get some ideas and then play from there. So I'm very happy with where the game is at. And I hope you guys are enjoying it as much as I am as well. Let's talk about some news that we've got going on in the Hearthstone world. The big thing, and I'm sure many of you guys know this, but Hearthstone is celebrating 70 million unique players by giving everyone 3 free Un'Goro packs right now. And all you need to do to claim those packs is to log into your account. You'll be awarded them. So if you haven't logged in the past week or two, you definitely want to do that. And I mean, free packs, come on. A lot of people are actually reporting a high level of rarity in those packs as well. I got a Golden Primal Fin Champion in one pack. I got Ozrook in my second pack, and I got another Epic I can't remember. So I really high rolled on those packs. And I know some people have reported that they just got their normal one rare and 40 dust, you know. So there's nothing official about that, but I just happen to have an insane streak of luck, I guess. Definitely go check them out. Let me know what you get on Twitter or through an email, because free cards are always good, right? And we really shouldn't just blitz past the fact that 70 million players is really, really insane. So congratulations to Blizzard. I'm sure, you know, way back in the day when they thought this was just going to be a casual game to sort of play for World of Warcraft people, they had no clue that one day they would have this many accounts out there. So congratulations, guys. Huge accomplishment there. And thank you for allowing us to celebrate with you as well. Always a generous move given free packs like that. Another news seems to be the Month of the Wild in Hearthstone, which is pretty cool. It makes sense because the shiny new paint of Un'Goro has faded just a little bit, and it seems like a great time to start rolling out some, hey, don't forget about Wild 2 initiatives. I know they said going into this standard year that they really wanted to put an emphasis on Wild, and I'm really excited to see what they have. We just had this heroic tavern brawl that was Wild style. That was a lot of fun to watch. I am never really tempted by those because $10 is a pretty high barrier of entry for me. I just got too discouraged by my arena runs and stuff like that to really put that much on the line. But I really enjoy watching all the professionals on Twitch play through. And especially with Wild, we haven't had a heroic tavern brawl specifically in Wild. So it was a lot of fun to watch the different kind of deck archetypes that they came up with. A lot of people were playing Freeze Mage, Pirate Warrior, of course, which wasn't quite as oppressive as I think we initially may have thought it to be. And it was really cool seeing some of the token paladin lists that were out there. I think Kibler was running a list that was really, really cool. Lots of Nazoth Shaman. That was the first 12-in run that I knew of. And just all sorts of archetypes. So it was really fun to watch that. Also, the big thing, if you're watching a lot of streamers outside of that Heroic Tavern Brawl are just exclusively playing Wild this month. And if you're kind of wondering why, Blizzard announced that the top 64 ranks in Legend, in Wild specifically, will qualify for a special Wild tournament that Blizzard is going to host, which is pretty cool. They haven't opened up a qualifier within the game like that before. If you're familiar with those Legend ranks, getting top 64 is extremely difficult, and you could be a really good player and just not grind enough games throughout the month, and especially in those last few hours to get there. So these are going to be some very hardcore players who get those top 64 ranks. And those are literally all the details we have, just that Blizzard is going to host a tournament for these 64 players. I assume it's going to be Wild format, but we don't know anything around that. So have fun watching Wild. Check it out. It seems like it is a lot more fun now that Reno's in there and some other, you know, forgotten friends of last year. They really aren't that old, but it's cool to see. And one more other note. This is kind of a sidestep, but I'll pull it back to Hearthstone in a second. The Heroes of the Storm game. Man, if you have not played Heroes of the Storm, you're missing out. There is a lot of fun to be had in that game. It's a MOBA-style game that is put on by Blizzard. It combines all the universes of Hearthstone, but primarily World of Warcraft, StarCraft, Diablo, Overwatch, even some classic characters, or character, I guess. And just throws them all in a pit in the Nexus. It's a ton of fun, and it's also free to play as well. And if you've never played it before, if you don't pay attention to it, they went through a huge overhaul of the system, so much so that they're calling it now Heroes of the Storm 2.0. And if you've never played it, right now is a great time to download it and even just jump on really briefly if you're not sure you'll ever have interest, because you're not just getting 3 free packs or even 3 free heroes. You're getting 20 free heroes when you sign on, and that's for all players, even if you have played it before. And that's a ton of value. I mean, these heroes range in their cost, but they can cost up to $10 each. And yeah, that's just nuts. So you can go on and pick a package that you want. They've got a support specialist package, which I got because I really like playing Lucio and Rhaegar and some of those other healing classes. Tyrande, very good too. They've also got an assassin package. They've got a package that just kind of combines a bunch of different classes if you like to try out a bunch of stuff. But you get one of those packages for free. So, and that's just from logging in. So go ahead and do that. And the way it ties back into Hearthstone is that there's a card back that you can get, very pretty card back, from playing Heroes. And the rules have changed for how to get that now that the entire system of leveling up and everything had a huge overhaul. So in order to get that Heroes card back, you have to get your overall level to 15, which means that you'll have to gain 15 levels across all of your different heroes. And that can sound a little bit intimidating, but it really isn't that bad. So if you log in, you've got 20 free heroes right off the bat. And you could play all your matches against AI opponents if you'd like. And it really only takes one, maybe two games to get up to level two with each of those characters. And so those add up very quickly. And for me, half the fun of playing Heroes of the Storm really is trying out all the different characters, seeing who they are and stuff like that, finding who your favorite is and the combination of abilities and leveling up and all that kind of stuff. So it's a blast. Definitely worth checking out. Again, you can play it for free on PC, not available on mobile. I don't know if they could ever figure that out. That would really be insane, but go check that out for sure. All right, let's go ahead and get into the interview with Mark. Really excited to introduce this guy to you right now. Welcome to the Happy Hearthstone, Mark. So good to have you today. Now, where exactly are you coming from right now?
Today, I'm in the beautiful country of Spain. Next week, I'll be in England. After that, I might be in Gibraltar. I know I'm going to Barcelona. I'm traveling all over the place, playing games, playing poker, playing Hearthstone, pulling my hair out, having a good time over here. So
it doesn't sound like a bad life by any stretch.
No. Being a former New Yorker, American, traveling in Europe it's pretty incredible, actually. So that's what I'm doing right now.
Well, very quickly, I am intrigued as much as a lot of our listeners are right now. So just tell us a little bit about who you are and definitely get to the part where you're traveling around in Europe. Because I want to know what's going on there.
it starts off is back in like 7 years ago. Right? Before I was living in the United States and I played poker as a professional poker player, live poker in a casino called Foxwoods, which was up in Connecticut. And my wife is British, and we decided to go and visit family. And we came over to Europe, to England, and she and I were there. And then Black Friday occurred. Black Friday, for those who are poker players, know all about what it is. Make a long story short, is when they banned online poker in the United States. And we were there. We had a bunch of money in the account and everything that we were playing online as well. And we kind of lost everything. So we're over in England. And it was legal there. So we're like, well, let's just stay. So we stayed in England. And then we played online poker. I played predominantly on PokerStars and 8-8 poker and stuff like that. And then we just kind of stayed, and it's been 7 years, been building bankroll on that. And then Hearthstone has become a very popular with the poker community because of the heads up affair. There's a lot of similarities between the game. And so it's interesting that way. But to get to the traveling part, I mean, like when I'm going to Barcelona, I'm going to a poker tournament for 8-8 Live, which is in Barcelona in Spain. And I'm going to be there, and they actually have representatives too that are from Hearthstone who will be there, as well as all the 8-8 poker team and everything. So, the traveling is revolving around poker. And then also I'm new to the Hearthstone thing. I've only been playing since, I think like the beginning of March before the release of the Un'Goro. It's kind of become a real habit. I mean, if you look at my stream and everything, you'll see that I pretty much stream every day. And, I've only really made it to like level 16 and 3 stars, but it's a new experience for me. And then Hearthstone is something that I'm trying to do as far as like getting some exposure and becoming like a gamer. I never really ever played games up until I played Hearthstone. The only game I played.
Wow.
Yeah. Was poker. And I'll say that Hearthstone is the second best card game in the world after the first, which is poker. So
poker certainly has more staying power and history than Hearthstone does at this point. You mentioned earlier that it sounds like Hearthstone really has become prominent in the poker community. Can you tell us about how that happened and maybe your first interactions with the game?
Yeah, well, what it is is the way I found out about it was through this player. His name is actually 8-8 Poker, because they did an ad. They were talking about how, hey, these two are interrelated, and a lot of poker players are playing the game because of it. Because it's, you know, like, let's face it, sometimes poker can get a little boring and it's also a grind and stuff. So you're like, okay. And then you get all these cool cards and everything. So, I got the idea to just check it out. And so, because also what I do for a living is I'm kind of in social media and I help mentor people who are doing social media and I teach them how to like create reach and stuff like that and, mm-hmm. you know, and get more traffic. So I kind of coach them on that. So I said, well, you know, maybe I should explore Hearthstone because it's so popular and see how it can grow, for social media and helping out people, you know, there. So anyway, I've got to kind of losing myself here, but,
you're good.
The way I found it was through the poker community is the heads up fact is that a lot of players like it because it's one-on-one and there are reads and tells and similarities between mm-hmm. the two games. A lot of people don't realize this, that when sometimes you see people hovering over their cards and you're like, you could tell which ones they're going to play and why is that card so interesting? And it's, there are even tells and things in the game, which was really intriguing to me. Now I have to admit when I first opened up Hearthstone, right? And they got the little dude, you know, welcome to the thing. And you know, I was like, oh God, I'm like, what is this? You know, and I'm just like, I'm going to give it a chance. And I'm like, for the first like 5 minutes, I'm like, I don't know. This is ridiculous. And then I went into the quest that's on there? Not the quest, the one that you get for free when you first start. I don't know if it's, I'm looking at the solo.
Okay.
It's the, sure. Which one is it again? It's the, Karazhan, the one night at the Karazhan.
Oh, you went through the adventure.
Yeah. So like okay. the first 5 minutes I decided to click on an adventure cause you get that free. And I'm like, now I'm really okay. Like, wow, this game is really, I don't know. This is really goofy. And then I just played a little bit and I went back. I won a couple of games and I was like, probably about 30 minutes later, I realized it's not 30 like, minutes later. It's like, it's now like 5 a.m. in the morning and I've been like playing for like 6 hours, you know? It's like, so since then it's just been, you know, all Hearthstone. It's just been crazy. So the game is great.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, it's really cool to hear from somebody who didn't really get their start necessarily with card games in Hearthstone. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, the poker Hearthstone community sort of being, you know, because there, like you said, there are a lot of similarities and yet they're very, very distinct. So it's cool to hear kind of the crossover, especially from, you know, professional players like yourself and just, you know, the appeal of it from a fun factor, but also kind of from a business factor as far as, man, I can, you know, I can increase my reach. I can be able to, you know, step into other communities as well. It's pretty cool. It's exciting.
Yeah. So when I had seen like that, you know, that you put out the thing where you said, hey, you know, people should come in and check out what's going on, you know, and come on the podcast. I was like, oh, wow, this is awesome. It's my first time actually doing it from this side. You know, I've been a host, like on the poker side, like you know, like where uh-huh. I'm like lead the conversation. So this is my first podcast where I'm the guest. And, so I think Venga Dragon's doing all right. That's my screen name. I'm Venga Dragon today, you know?
That's awesome. Well, and we actually brought you on so that we can talk a little bit about the new player experience. I know, especially, a lot of people have kind of gotten concerned about what that new player experience looks like as, you know, more and more expansions are rolled out. So it'll be really cool to hear your take on what it's been like to jump in right before Un'Goro released. And now in the, you know, we're about a month out from that release. And just kind of how things are going there. So so I'm really excited to have you on the show, Mark. And I'll do my best to show mercy for you being a guest for the first time.
So. No, that's all right. That's all right.
But hey, we keep it really light and we keep it fun. So tell us at the top of the show why you're happy today.
Well, I'm firstly happy because it's my first podcast. Secondly, because it's a great sunny day. Get a chance to do something I've never done before. Happy to be on the show. Hopefully I can call you a friend after this. Got Andrew. I in my Skype box, which I hate using, but
absolutely.
I'm happy that Skype is working well. A bunch of things. I'm happy to be a part of that, the Happy Hearthstone community, keeping it light, keeping it real.
That's right.
Having a good time, you know? So, I'm happy that, the other night I got, a card in my deck. I got the new player experience, really. We'll talk about that first. Is like, when I first started it and before the Un'Goro release, you know, it was a very steep learning curve. You know, I never got any higher than, actually by mistake, I think one night I got to like level 16, but I didn't know that really meant anything because I was just playing. And I realized I was on the rank games and stuff. I kind of didn't understand what I was really, you know, like what I was really doing. I just was playing the game. I didn't understand that there was all this ranking and casual games.
The leveling up and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, because unfortunately or fortunately, I don't really read much, I didn't read anything beforehand. And the reason why was
you guys just, don't read the instruction manual.
Yeah, that's it.
That's
exactly. But that was the kind of thing is like the game itself. It takes like literally you just play it for like 5 or 10 minutes. You go, oh yeah, I understand. You know, and it's really easy to learn. It's the same thing as like poker, where it's like it's a lifetime to master, a minute to learn. That's like what I would say about Hearthstone. So as a new player, you know, I love the graphics and I love the, just like all the explosions and the battle cries and each card that dropped down. That was the most intriguing thing to me was like, I just love the sounds and the way that the game played out. I've been looking for a game I play World of Tanks as well, but like World of Tanks, you have to really like have your hand on the keyboard and it's like requires reflexes and to be thinking, you know, so really quickly. Not that Hearthstone doesn't have it, but, you know, I can listen to a Mets game in the background while I got Hearthstone going and, you know, take a second to just glance over and see what's going. And it's so, I like what do they call the games when they call this genre again. It's the, esports or not esports, but it's a turn-based games. So,
okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I was kind of looking for a turn-based game. So Hearthstone is really good that way. I just like building the decks and everything, I didn't really understand. So I was just like, I then found, first thing I did is I went in and I looked for a community on G+ because I'm a big fan of G+ communities. And I found the Hearthstone, Happy Hearthstone community. So joined that and then just kind of see what other people were doing. And got familiar with the cards and then said, oh, wow, there's ranking and this and that and everything. So you start to dive into it. I think that was a mistake, to be honest with you. I think if you're going to play this game in the beginning, don't make the same mistakes I did. Like, for example, just going into the arena without having any experience at all, not really understanding what the arena was about and how to get new card packs, what to use gold for and things like that. Those are really important things that I missed out on. And I think it slowed my progress as a player and it's made the game a lot harder for me. And it's like the frustration level really went up. Like just last night, I was like, oh man, I got to go on a podcast tomorrow about Hearthstone. I hate this game. I'm like, you know, cause I made some mistakes. Like I don't really have a lot of cards in my deck. Like it's funny. I was streaming and I'm playing the warrior, I just got remember you mentioned, three cards were, we're getting three packs of cards when you logged in the other day. In that, in that pack, I think I got the Taunt Warrior quest card.
Oh wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. The Fire Plume's Heart came into my deck. So I've been focusing on just two classes before that, which was the Paladin and the Druid. I love the Paladin. And then in March, then Un'Goro came and the Paladin is like really difficult, even more difficult than it was. I do say that I did get in when I first started, I got to level 16, like on accident, like I said. And then in April, I got to level 16 and 3 stars, and I was struggling. I mean, as soon as I got to level 16 and 3 stars, everybody was a level 15 and everybody was just way better than I was at the game. And then I finished off this last season as, at level, I think 18, but I got the credit for being close. So, you know, it's an up and down battle. One thing I've learned is, or a lot of things. One of the things I've learned is never give up on anything. If you like the game, keep trying, you know, keep playing and, learn as much as you can.
What would you say have been some of the biggest barriers to entry for you? Is it deck building? Is it getting the right kinds of cards? Is it knowing how to play the game? I mean, what have been the biggest things that have kind of gotten in your way, you think?
Yeah, the thing that's still in my way right now is tempo. And I just started using the Taunt Warrior, right? And the tempo, like I'm just like, oh yeah, just blast out the quest, just throw up every card, you know, oh easy, it's 7 taunt minions, you reward a sulfurous, you win the game, it's really easy. And so the tempo is just like, you know, get as many as like taunt cards as you can up on the board, not think about anything, not clear anything, not do any card exchanging, nothing, right? Just complete the quest, kill your opponent and move on, because that's what it feels like when you're on the other side, like when you're playing another class and then you come up against the Fire Plume's Heart. You know what? That's funny. I've been saying the warrior, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's a warrior class. So you come up against the warrior and then all of a sudden you're like, you know, you think it's really easy and you think, oh, that it's like the quest for them is really easy. What a waste. You know, the Ungaro has ruined the game and the quest is really easy. Well, it's not that easy to complete the Fire Plume's Heart quest and then effectively win. When you see it from the side of being like playing as a paladin or a druid, because those are the only two other classes that I really played. I did do some mage, play, but you kind of see that you're like, oh, you feel like, oh, there's no skill whatsoever. Just throw up the quest and that's it. But then all of a sudden you go in and play it. You could see the difference. So I'm going to go back to just the other season when I first was playing and there was no Ungaro. The first card that I encountered that I hated was the C'Thun. And.
Oh, right.
Right. So C'Thun comes out and you'd be a new player and you play against the C'Thun. You see the C'Thun and you're just kind of just hovering over the, concede button because you just can't beat it. So the way to beat it was I was like, I ain't gonna play it. I'm not gonna do it. And all of a sudden I was like, I go into an arena and I got, the C'Thun card as,
okay.
You know, drew it. So I'm like, all right, I gotta try it out. So I built a deck on C'Thun. And then what happened was now is whenever I see, I built a deck, played one a couple of times and I learned how to understand the deck, and understand how to play by playing the card itself, you know, so. Does that make sense? Is like you kind of learn from
yeah. And that's always been a big thing that I suggest for people. If you're frustrated playing against a certain deck, like I remember when I first started, I would come up against Zulok decks a lot, and it always felt like they could just outrun me, outvalue me. I just didn't have a chance against them, and it wasn't until I decided, you know what, I'm going to go over to the dark side. I'm going to try out this Zoo thing. That you figure out how the deck wants to play, and you don't win every game when you play with it. So you find out how did my opponent beat me, and then you can use those kinds of skills to really, you know, put it into practice with, you know, decks that come out. So it's great to hear that happened for you with C'Thun.
Yeah, and that's like, and you know, going back to your original question was what is the things that's really, you know, that I've been struggling with, and it's really is tempo, is. And tempo, I relate to, you know, how did the player beat me? And saying like, well, why does a Taunt Warrior every time I play it when I'm a paladin or the druid, it feels like I get beat every time. And
sure.
And so tempo is really is the thing that I need to work on. And I think also kind of card exchanging. And then I guess lastly would be deck building, because I didn't realize as a new player, like it took me a long time, really, like probably a long time in the gaming world, I guess. It took me like at least a week or two to figure out, oh, wow, this card plays with that one. Like, there's synergies. Oh, yeah, that, you know, you should play this card in conjunction with that, you know, and, oh, look, a combo card. What does that do? You know, like there's, you know,
sure.
You know, you play the card, you play the combo card first and nothing happens. And you're like, what? Like, why does my opponent always have that work? You know, like.
Now, you mentioned that your favorites were Druid, Warrior. What other classes?
I like Paladin first
Paladin first. Okay.
Last month, you know, before Ungur. Uh-huh. I like the Jade Druid because I just like beefing up big minions with the one one mana.
Sure.
I've just started playing the Warrior. I'm not so sure I like the Warrior, but it was I got the Fire Plume's heart for the Warrior.
So you kind of have to. I mean, yeah. Come on. So have there been any classes that have been a bit more intimidating or difficult to figure out for you?
I have a lot of trouble with the Warlock and the Shaman, but the Shaman seems like it's a really good class. Like a lot of people complain that it doesn't have a great hero power. And I've read on the forums and stuff that they don't like the hero power from the Shaman, but it's a lot like in a lot of ways, it's a lot like the hero power of the Paladin. So being that I like the Paladin, I was a little intimidated by the Shaman, and I couldn't make it work. So I'd have to say it's the Shaman, that one that I find is most difficult to make work for me, but I don't understand why it doesn't.
So. Yeah, I think it's not, and it's funny because from my vantage point, you know, I've played this game for about 2 years, maybe more than that. You know, I've seen a lot of different deck archetypes, specifically with Shaman, for this is how it works. But when I kind of take a step back and look at it, I mean, you get a random 0/2 minion that does different stuff. Like, how do you take advantage of it? It's kind of unintuitive for that to work, right?
Yeah. I mean, but it always seems when you play against that opponent that you're like, they seem...
They have it figured out.
Yeah, they figure it out. Like, you know, but, or you ever, you know, and this is the funny thing about, like, this is like, we'll go back to kind of the comparisons between poker and Hearthstone, right? It's like, for those who are not poker players, if you're listening, there's a thing called a flush draw or a straight draw or whatever. And you could be on a flush draw, which means that you know, you get all the same suit in their cards. And if we're using Hold'em as an example, it's like, that guy always makes his flush. They always make their flush. I never make my flush. I can never, my sets never hold up. My hand never holds up, right?
So you're saying you can get triggered in poker also.
Yeah. So you're playing Hearthstone, you're playing against a Shaman, and you're like, okay, anything but the taunt minion.
Bloodlust?
Yeah.
Or the thing from below.
Yeah. And you're like, and then he boom, hits it, and you're like, really? You know, he had a 1 in 4 chance of getting it. But it's every single time they drop that card,
the,
you know?
The totem,
totem. Yeah. You know? You're like, you know?
And that's definitely a joke in the Hearthstone community as far, like, you're only really good at Shaman when you can roll exactly the totem that you need. So.
Yeah. It's like, but it's fun, like that's a fun class to play against sometimes too, because you're like, okay, you know, you see they summon the totem and, you know, and then they get the spell one and you're like, oh no, you know, like, yeah. You know, here it comes, it's a card he needed, and then the lightning bolts and you're all, you know, your board is cleared and you're like, all right.
Yeah. So. Now, tell me about how you've built your collection of cards over time, because it sounds like you have a fairly good collection. I mean, did you jump into Arena? Did you decide, man, I need to invest some money into this game? I mean, or have you said, man, I want to stay free to play? Like, what has that journey looked like for you?
Well, it's if you see like on Twitch, I didn't start twitching on the games. But before that, I would just be like, gonna break out the credit card. God's going, yeah. You're gonna get me, you know? The way that I got the cards off the bat was I went into originally, I was checking out the solo adventures. The one that I went into first was League of Explorers. And, that one, I got a bunch of cards from there because I had this obsession with getting Bran Bronzebeard. I kept on seeing him. I'm like, how did I get that guy? So like, I went in there, got Bran. And then of course that he's no longer, useful in the Un'Goro pack. So I'm like, oh man, you know, but.
Did you feel cheated by that? Because when you said that, the adventures were always the best way to spend your money because you know what you're going to get with those. But for you to just have a month to play with it, I mean, did that?
Yeah.
Did you realize you were getting into that, or was it kind of like I didn't know that.
Yeah, like it's like if you look in the like some of the old posts, and if you saw, you might have. There's so many posts in the Happy Hearthstone community. You might have not seen it, but I was like, oh, wow, how about Bran Bronzebeard with an adapt minion who, does like, you know, like they can adapt 5 times. That's a 10 adaption.
That's insane.
Stuff like that. So, and it did being a new player, I didn't understand the difference between wild and standard, you know, so I was like, you know, like I had like a bunch of decks built. One of my favorite cards in the deck, Drake, the dragon, which one is it called?
The again? Azure Drake?
Azure Drake, yeah. See, I forgot the name of it because I had to put it out of my mind. It was one of my favorite cards in the deck was Azure Drake. And I go, the day that Un'Goro is released, all my decks are not working. You're like, I'm clicking, nothing's happening. I'm like, what? You know, oh, you can't play this because this is no longer, you know, Azure Drake is no longer in there. And, gotcha. So I was like, so to make a long story short, yeah, I think I felt a little slighted on
not that. Now, you know about the wild format, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for you, have you decided like, man, I really want to stay invested in standard, or maybe because I got all those cards, wild's more attractive to me? I mean, what does that look like for you?
I'm going standard. The reason why is because it really is truly since I'm a new player, it's a real steep learning curve, and I found that if I try to do too many things, I think of it this way. I'm just trying to like not master a class, but get good at different classes. Like I'm trying to get good at the paladin, trying to get good at the druid, and trying to get good at the warrior. So in having said that, I'm trying to get good at just being in the standard play. The wild deck, it wasn't appealing to me because it's just way too wild. I mean, I just, that's
as the name would, and you know, instigate.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That, I mean, that's it. It's just way too much for me to get, you know, through my head. I mean, I'm, you know, like I finished last season. Like I said, I think at 19 or 18. I think it was 19, but I was right so close. And it's like, you know, it takes a lot of work to be good at this game. And,
yeah, absolutely.
So I'm trying to do it with, by learning, you know, with the specific classes. So while I'm not ready for wild yet, maybe next season.
Well, and I can imagine like that opens up the, you know, the floodgates for all sorts of other cards that maybe, you know, you haven't seen as frequently or so. So going to standard where there isn't as much to learn about as far as decks, cards, like all of that, like it makes more sense for you to be able to beef up your chops kind of, as it were.
Yeah. And that's really what I figured is that there would just be less to take care of and more, more time for me to focus on what's readily available. Like exactly, less cards, less to think about, the strategy, you know, learn the strategies and the synergies with what's there, you know, so plus.
But then everything's transferable if at any point you do change your mind or anything like that.
Exactly, so. Yeah. And so I guess we could say that would you suggest that a new player just sticks to standard, or should they play wild?
Yeah. I think standard is the way to go for all the reasons we just said. And as far as like investing in your collection, the only way to get wild cards right now is to craft them with the dust that you have. And as a new player, your dust is all the more valuable because it's like every single rare, epic, or legendary that you craft is taking out so much, you know. It's like a kid with a piggy bank who has, you know, $5 saved up over the past 3 months. You know, every one of those quarters matters all of a sudden. Yeah. So it's kind of the same way. I think that, you know, with standard and with the amount of other, you know, players on Twitch that you can watch to kind of learn and see, oh, they're building this kind of deck or they're playing against this kind of thing. You're able to deduce which things are, you know, the most applicable cards for the deck that you want to play, the class that you want to play, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I was just nodding my head. Yes, exactly.
Now, have you ventured into Arena at all?
Yes, and I'm like probably the second worst player on the planet in the Arena.
And why is that?
Well, it just has to be somebody worse at playing Arena than me. I mean, it's like it just has to be. So I'm the second worst player. I realize that there's big differences between it. Like, for example, you look at like a card like the Vicious Fledgling, right? It's the, and it's a great arena card, but it's not so great a great deck card. It's great in the arena because your opponent can't necessarily forge the deck. That defense against it, that great, they may not be able to defend it. So it's like things like that are in the arena. The nuances, it's completely different. And so I guess it goes back to one of the things that I really need to work on, which is deck building. And, but I always find it's like, I do find occasionally that when I'm building a deck, like, it's like, I feel like Hearthstone is playing with me. For example, you get that first dragon card. If you discover a dragon and this card will get +4 health. You're like, okay, I'm going to go down the dragon run, right? So you grab that card and then you don't see a dragon for the rest of the thing, you know, like,
right,
you know,
right.
Or you get equality and you click, if you play the paladin class, you get equality. You're like, okay, consecration's coming. It never comes. Or you see consecration and then you don't get equality, you know, or the synergy cards. So I was like, I'm really struggling in finding a way to build a deck. So that's, I need to improve there.
And something that might be helpful, going back to episode number 87, we talked with Tony about how to build a deck, because I'm not the best deck builder either. You know, there's some really basic things to keep in mind, like, you know, what kind of deck you're trying to create. You know, are you trying to get an aggressive deck that just wants to wipe out the opponent as fast as possible? Do you want a mid-range deck that kind of tries to play on curve throughout the entire game, or do you want a control deck that tries to outvalue and you know, get rid of a ton of your opponent's minions or strategies so that in the late game you can really, you know, win? So knowing that kind of helps guide, all right, you know, aggressive deck, I want a lot of early game, I want a lot of minions that are fast. You know, that Vicious Fledgling minion might actually work. It's been popping up in some aggressive druid decks lately because it's a very aggressive card. It's something you want to play early and just go face and kill them as fast as possible.
Yeah.
But in a control deck, you would never play Vicious Fledgling because it doesn't help you outvalue. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of card that really wants to just, you know, like I said, go face. So knowing those kind of things can be helpful, but definitely, you know, the more that you watch people playing, the more that you listen to people talking about it, those are always the things that are going to help you get better at, well, anything really, but especially with Hearthstone.
Yeah, and it's like there's tons of things to learn and everything. I think though, for the new player, I think the most important thing is like the if I had to make rules, I'm not an authority, but because I'm a rookie, I'm speaking from experience. I think the mistakes to avoid is read more, right? You have to like read and do the research, like we've been talking about. But what I did was, and I started this 15 or 30 days later after I had, like, after starting, I made it a point to play in an arena at least once a day.
Oh, wow. That's great.
By trying to get the gold and then trying to complete the quests, the daily quests.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, so play an arena once a day, but don't break out the credit card. You know what I mean? Like try to do it free first by establishing it by playing in the arena once a day. It doesn't make sense to buy card packs with gold, because we know the value is there and things, and it's like you get more value from playing the arena. If you happen to win a game, then you do better. If you don't win a game, you still get a deck and you get maybe some gold, or even some rare occasions you get dust. And that would be the main mistake that I think I made originally, was is just not playing in the arena early when I didn't have any games under my belt, because the Hearthstone algorithm is really intense. Meaning I discovered that the better you become at the game, the better your opponents become, and that's something that's really, I mean, I think it's a really great thing about Hearthstone. I think they did a really good job at matching you up with an opponent that's equal in skill level. But I think it also is based on the cards too. If you notice, like, you don't have a lot of really great cards in there, and even if you're an experienced player, if you don't have some of the bigger cards, you'll be up against some opponents who really don't have much of a deck either. So that to me is one of the things that makes Hearthstone so great, is the fact that the algorithm is set up so well that skill will prevail over RNG, I believe, so it's pretty cool. That's interesting.
Well, and it's any kind of skill based thing where the more you invest into it, the better you're going to get. You know, if you want to become a better baseball player, you got to go to the cages and hit some balls, you know, mm-hmm. or you got to work on your pitch or your catch. And with Hearthstone, you know, the more that you play the game, try out Arena. I mean, the great thing about Arena that we haven't said is that as a new player, you get to play with cards that you may not have yet. And so you get to find out, hey, there actually is a place for Ancient Watcher, or, there are uses for these other cards, or, hey, what's this card I haven't even seen? Now I got to actually try it out and it stinks, so I'm not going to craft it, or, you know, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's great, man.
It's totally true. That was one of the first things I thought. I was like, oh wow, cool! I got to play Tyrion Fording. I've never played him before, and I got to play him in the arena. You know, so it's like kind of it's like a birthday present. The arena could be like a birthday present. You get every single turn that when you're selecting cards, you get a nice little happy card there.
I do think that the drafting process is the most fun part about Arena, because. You could still draft an okay deck, but if you go 0-3, then it's no longer a birthday present. It is sadness.
I never go 0-3. No, I'm kidding. I don't think I go 1-3.
I was gonna say, man, if you're the second worst, then
no, you're right though. It's like the NFL draft.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a lot of fun to watch. It's not necessarily as fun to watch the results of their play in the NFL. So
yeah, well, cool. Anything else you want to talk about as far as the new player experience? I tell you what, give us one thing that you think would improve it from your vantage point, from where you're at.
You know, it's a really difficult question, and it's because there's either a lot of things or there's nothing. If that makes sense. Think about like baseball and think about poker. Like, I'm a big baseball fan. The game is perfect. It really is. I mean, it's been around for, you know, over 100 years, and you have a situation where 90 feet still works in today's game, as where it didn't work way back in the day. It worked way back in the day. The players have become faster. Everything's moved quicker, but 90 feet to first base from home is still perfect. And poker, the suits, the flush beats straight, you know, straight beats three of a kind. It's perfect. The cards, the mathematics, everything that's there is perfect. Sure, you could pick apart the game and say, hey, you know, that you should do this, you should do that, and change this, change that. But in the end, you don't really have what's there for the game. I dare I say that I think that Hearthstone is a perfect game. I think it's been,
Dang.
I think it's really good. I think they've done a perfect job with it. And,
that's great.
And it's the, though I'll admit, with the Ungaro release, there's times where I think that they've screwed up the meta and stuff like that. But I realize that it's just me complaining and, you know, it being like, kind of like, oh man, you know, like, well, can't they go back to the way it used to be? You know, like when we're in the day when we had the old, you know, like a month ago, you know, like, oh, couldn't it just, but the game is perfect. It really is. They've done a great job. And I think it's getting better.
Absolutely.
You know, as I become a better player, the game gets better. If I were a worse player, it gets worse. It's just keeping a positive mindset. So. Yeah. No change.
Your mind, and you know that from poker also, is that your mindset is everything, right?
Yeah.
You cannot control the cards that are dealt to you, but you can control how you perceive it and how you play it. And if I try to remind myself of this, especially if I'm getting frustrated on the ladder, that if I played the game the best possible way, then I have nothing to complain about whether I win or lose because I did the best job I possibly could. Mm-hmm. Now, if I reflect on the game and I look back at plays and I said, you know what, this one I was really unsure about, and I think now looking back I made the wrong choice, then I can be a little disappointed, but I learn from it still and I improve. And even if I lost that game, then I'm getting better in the process. So
yeah.
Variance is are the things that you can't control, and you can't let those tilt you because that's way too common and everything. But you're right, man. It's all about mindset. And I'm glad you're enjoying the game so much. That's really exciting to hear.
Yeah, it's a love-hate relationship already. That's a good thing, though.
Absolutely.
But I wanted to add something. I know that because we, you know, Andrew and I have been like chatting like crazy. He asked me to do the card of the week. Can I reveal the card of the week?
Yeah, man, absolutely. I assume, of course, that you're ready to sing, right?
Suddenly get lightheaded right now. All of a sudden, I'm like, I'm starting to get dizzy. I think I'm about to faint. I don't know if I can.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll be able to sing. Come on, Venga.
You've come this far, Mark.
I've come this far. So fly me to the card of the week and let me get that card in the center of the deck. I need to get the Servant of Calamos because that's the card I choose. In other words, please be true. In other words, Servant of Calamos, I love you.
Perfect. There you go. That wasn't so bad. Huh?
All right. So, yeah, Servant of Calamos. Can I not sing the rest? Go ahead.
No, absolutely. You don't need to sing through the whole thing. Well, tell us what Servant of Calamos is.
All right. So, we got the Servant of Calamos, right? Or Calamos? I don't know. I'm going to go Calamos. I like Calamos. It is the battle cry. If you played an elemental last turn, discover an elemental. And the reason why I chose that card just is for the reason of the birthday surprise. We're kind of going on that birthday, the theme. It's like you get to see, oh, we get one of three. Firstly, like if you check out the Happy Hearthstone community, occasionally I'll post my choose ones in there. I like to post my choose ones and it gives you that chance to choose one. And, you get the guy, what was the guy? Die insect. Live insect.
Ragnaros.
Yeah, Ragnaros, right. So if you're playing the paladin, you get the little birthday surprise of Ragnaros, and you get the live insect one, which a lot of times will help you win the game. But it's just kind of cool because, firstly, it's also an elemental card, which the elemental cards are just great. There's really good synergies between those. So not only do you get the surprise of what you're going to get when you play it, and you can kind of see where you're at in your game. So if you need Ragnaros, then you would choose him, but you might need that freeze minion or something. It's just something that'll help you. So it can help you in the next couple of plays, or it could help you in late game or whatever it may be. But it also helps you in the aspect of that it does trigger the what is it, the Tallir Stone Shaper or cards like that need to have, you know, that need to have that, which the Tallir Stone Shaper will give you the, if you played an elemental last turn, gain taunt and a divine shield. So I like the synergy with that going in a 5-4, in a 5-drop, and then dropping Stone Shape after. Or it also can then trigger you to be able to play it again, you know, on the next turn if you get it twice. So
it's nice when you have an elemental minion that takes advantage of your previous turn, but also sets you up for the next turn as well. I mean, this is really a no-brainer in any elemental deck that you're creating.
Yeah.
Because it gives you so much value, and the card that you're getting can help you further those elemental things. So if you get like a Blaze Caller off of this, that's insane.
Yeah. Well, I had the other day I was playing, I pulled Ragnaros, and I was like, I was down like 2 health or something like that. And I just turned to my wife's watching me play. I said, I go, check this out. He doesn't know I got 2 of them. So I dropped Ragnaros on like turn 8. And then he doesn't get a chance to kill him. And then I drop him again. I got 2 of them out there. I'm like, you know, live insect. And I'm like, he just quit. He rage quit. He doesn't know I got 2 Ragnaros. And so it's really cool. That's one of the reasons why I like that card so much, because you can pull like 2, you know, epics or legendary cards and play them both. Yeah. You know, and so that's it. That's my card.
Well, awesome. Well, thanks so much, Mark, for being on the show. Really appreciate you sharing all the newness of a new player with us. Tell all of our listeners where they can find you if they'd like to follow your pokerness or your Hearthstoneness or I don't know, whatever else you're thinking about at the moment.
All right. Well, all you have to do is just, you can check out Happy Hearthstone Community. You'll see me as Venga Dragon, which is V-E-N-G-A,
yeah.
Venga Dragon. You can see me there. Also got a G+ profile, same name. But I think the place to best find out where I play and what's going on with me is on Twitch, which is twitch.tv/ Venga Dragon. But here's the thing, is I want you to follow me, not so that you can watch me and let me teach you. I want you to follow me and just help me out. That's what my banner says on there. Help me out. It says, help me
the
win.
Get better.
It's sort of like the Wu-Tang Clan. You want to battle, bring assistance. So my audience is my assistance. I need to see you there. So come over and check me out and help me win. That's what it says.
There you go. We always get better when we're together, right? Well, Mark, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. It's been awesome having you here and talking about what it's like to be a new player.
All right. Thank you.
And with that, it's time to close up the show. Just want to remind you guys that the Happy Hearthstone is a proud part of the MMO Reporter Network, which is a collaboration of several different podcasts, all on mission to provide fun and entertaining takes on your favorite games. If you play WoW, LOTRO, Guild Wars, or any other MMO, be sure to go to mmoreporter.com and check out some of the other great podcasts that we have. If you'd also like to support our show, help us grow, help us make it better, you can do so by visiting our Patreon at patreon.com/mmoreporter. And as always, I would personally love to hear what you thought about this show, this episode, what you'd like to see added for future episodes. You can do that primarily by emailing me at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com. And I would love for you to consider coming and being a co-host on the show, just like Mark did. He reached out to me and just said, hey, I'd like to come on. I don't know what to talk about, but let's figure it out. And we figured it out. So whether you've podcasted before or not, I would love for you to come. And it all starts with you just shooting me an email and I can get all the details to you. We can hash it out from there. So go ahead and do that. You can also follow me on Twitter at @AndrewIsLiving or the show at @TheHappyHS. You can also find our Google Plus community, which is where Mark found the show in the first place, by going to our show notes, mmoreporter.com. We got the link on there. Or you can just search in Google Plus for Happy Hearthstone. People are always posting screenshots, deck lists, all sorts of stuff over there. And just a reminder, every Monday night I'll be streaming at twitch.tv/mmoreporter from 7 to 9 p.m. Central. I'm so close to hitting Legend, just a few ranks away, and maybe I'll get to do that on stream. That would be a lot of fun. So just think about it on Monday night. Come hang out with us over there. And if you listen to our last review episode all the way to the very end, we had a contest running. And I'm really excited to announce that Callum Ord, I don't know which one it is, you won a beta code for Gwent. Really excited to get that to you, man. I'll reach out to you on Twitter.
And the good news is that we've actually got a few more to give away that we got from Gwent. So if you're interested, Gwent is a card game from the makers of The Witcher. It's kind of similar to Hearthstone, but it plays very differently. And it's actually quite fun. I've gotten to dabble with it a little bit. Tweet at the Happy HS and let me know which deck you're playing on the ladder. That's all you got to do. And we have a few more codes to give away. Also, stay tuned right after the outro music. Got a quick message from you from our friends at Con Before the Storm. Be sure you listen to that. But thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us here at the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. Cannot wait to see you next time.
Hey, this is Heather and Dave, organizers for our fifth annual event, Con Before the Storm. This event means the world to us and the community, and for the last 4 years, none of this would be possible without you. Since 2013, when we began as World of Podcast, every year we have been humbled by the kindness of people in this community.
On Thursday, November 2nd, we plan to return with World of Podcast, our amazing fan art gallery featuring over 200 pieces of unique art, our meet and greet where content creators like Bajira, esports team like Method, and celebrity personalities like Malik Forte, Pamela Horton, and Michelle Morrow have mingled with fans.
Our Kickstarter is currently in full swing. We want to hit our stretch goals to get a larger space, which includes a Frog Pants and A-Move TV meetup, plus potentially some other stretch goal surprises.
Thank you for taking the time to check out our campaign and for your continued support. Help us kick off BlizzCon celebrations this year at Con Before the Storm 2017. Party by fans, for fans. For more information, please visit kickstarter.combeforestorm.com.